Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think for a moment on a difficulty in your past. Okay, maybe not so much a difficulty right now, but think about a difficulty in your past. Are you still here right now? Do you see what I'm getting at? The thing is we have a lot of difficulties in our past. And the truth is that if you are sitting here, it means that the Lord has seen you through them. It means that his hand has been upon you to sustain you and strengthen you through whatever difficulty you once experienced. Because you're here. Because you're here. And it's very important for us to establish this. Because in our epistle text for today, from James, God delivers us examples of patience. And it's really hard for us to have patience in the midst of our suffering. But after our suffering is over, we can look back. And it's a whole lot easier to be patient with a difficult time after we've already come through it. With that in mind, I will start by reading again this portion of James for us. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. The truth is that there are many instances in our life where we need to be patient. And in James here, we sort of get laid out for us three varying circumstances. The first one here, like I just read, is about farmers. How many here are farmers? A few, but not all of us. But don't worry, it's going to apply to everybody. Farmers must be patient. And, you know, we live in a farming community. And so here's the deal. If a farmer goes out and plants his crops in May, it would make total sense for him to go out in June with his combine, right? No, right? We wouldn't even call that harvesting. We would just call it destroying. He's literally just going to wreck his whole field and have to start over, right? That would be silly. And so farmers can't do that. If they plant in May, they have to wait until this time of year now before they can harvest their corn or their beans or whatever they have. Why? Well, because the plants aren't ready yet. It doesn't matter how much wishing they do. It doesn't matter how much, you know, they can go out into their field and yell at their plants, but that's not going to make them grow anymore. You know, or maybe, you know, throughout the growing season, what are farmers always talking about? The weather. And we all understand why, right? I mean, if plants don't get rain, they die, right? If they get too much rain, they die, right? There's sort of this healthy balance that needs to be struck. But the truth is that no matter how much farmers talk about the weather, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I mean, it's good to talk about the weather. But it's not going to change it. I mean, if you're going through a drought, all you can do is sit there and wait for the Lord to send rain to the earth. Right? If you're getting too much rain, the only thing you can do is sit there and wait for the Lord to send less rain. And so this is what James is talking about. See, in the midst of our physical blessings, sometimes we just have to be patient. You know, there might be some here who are in the midst of, you know, going through schooling. Right? And, you know, kids, as they get older, they start to not like school so much. And they go, you know what? I just want to be done with school. I just want to go off and get a job and be finished with all this. Right? And then, you know, for people who enter the workforce, you know, after a certain amount of years, they go, you know what? I'm done working. I just want to be done with this and move to retirement. You know, and for those who are retired, they finally go, you know, well, I finally made it to retirement, but now I have to be patient with my mind. I have to be patient with my body that doesn't work as well as it could when I was younger, right? No matter which area we're in, I mean, if you're a kid, you have to be patient because you can't go through the 12th grade unless you go through the 11th grade. And there's nothing you can do to speed up the time. If you're in the workforce, I mean, me, I'm 30 years old. I've been doing this for 4 years. I can't retire today. My family would literally be living in a cardboard box by probably 6 months from now. Or moving back home with mom and dad, which is equally as shameful. I have to wait, right? It's only by patient waiting that we can slowly make it through one time in life or another, waiting for physical blessings. How about parents? Or maybe grandparents, right? Children. We all want children to be raised as responsible, sort of productive members of society. Really, we want them to be faithful Christians too, right? But the thing is it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like one day your kid's going to wake up and go, oh, all of a sudden I'm faithful. I'm going to be a productive member of society. No, it's daily teaching. It's daily reinforcing. It's over and over again being patient with your children as they learn. And nothing but time can grant that. Now, the truth is that we don't like patience. I mean, no matter which place in life in, we don't like patience. Instead, what we like to do is we like to complain. I mean, that's our default setting. But remember that Jesus had to be patient too. And in fact, Jesus was patient on your behalf. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus couldn't just come whenever he wanted. Right? He had to wait for the proper time to come to earth. I mean, from creation, this Trinity that we worship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they knew exactly the right time for Jesus to come that he might be born of the Virgin Mary. And it had to come after Abraham. It had to come after Judah. It had to come after David. It had to come after all of these people. And finally, the time was ripe for Jesus to come. But even God has to wait. Even God has to be patient. What's more, but as Jesus, you know, continues to live on this earth, you know, he had to learn how to walk because he was a man. He had to learn how to speak. He had to learn everything. And it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he actually begins his public ministry. You know, the things that are recorded in the Bible. I mean, we get a few instances before that, but his miracle work and all of the wonderful preaching he did. I mean, that doesn't happen until he's 30 years old. He has to wait. But again, as God, he knows that this waiting is going to lead to blessedness in the end. Blessedness for you, your forgiveness, your life, your salvation. So that's number one. Sometimes time. We just have to let time elapse. We just have to be patient. But then we come to a second situation, right? And James tells us this. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. Now, you might remember the prophets from the Old Testament. Even in last week's reading, we heard about Jeremiah, right? And Jeremiah gives this confession that his adversaries are seeking his life, that they literally want to wipe his name out of existence. And Jeremiah is not the only prophet who experienced this sort of adversity, right? Elijah had the same sort of persecution. In fact, most of the prophets in the Old Testament had this persecution where people didn't want to hear their words. People hated them. And many times, they expressed their frustration, that they were done. They were sick of being rejected. They're sick of making all of these different attempts to preach God's word, and it all falls on deaf ears. They were done with it. But God would reinforce them with his word. God would reinforce them with his promise, with their task, and they would go out and they would do it, even if it had to be reluctantly. And this is what the Lord calls each of us to. In our own day and time, the truth is, I don't know how many people you've shared your faith with. Maybe it's been one, maybe it's been two. I mean, amongst our families is probably the easiest place to talk about our Christianity with. And the truth is, how many times when you shared your faith, whether it's a stranger or someone you know or a friend or a family, whatever it is, how many times have they actually followed through and come with you to church? How many times have they actually followed through and actually become a believer? Very few, right? Very few times, because we're not that different than the prophet. And I hope God has, you know, granted you, you know, his spirit in some instances where people do come to faith. But the truth is that doesn't happen very often. And so we're really not that different than the prophets. And so as the prophets continued and were persistent in delivering the word of God out to all of these people, as they had to be patient and steadfast, the Lord calls us to the same. You know, we might have to speak the word, you know, 2 dozen times to somebody before it finally clicks, or in 2 dozen different ways before it finally clicks in their mind. And maybe even sometimes it will never click. Maybe it's not going to be up to you. You know, in the prophet's time, their message was very unpopular. But I'd be willing to bet that most of you would read their words with joy. Because maybe it takes a few hundred years for words to actually sink in. Maybe it takes to being removed from a situation or something later down the road that's finally going to make them realize that this Christianity thing really is all it's cracked up to be. But in the midst, we have to be patient. We have to be patient and simply go to the task that God has given us and allow His word to do its work. And again, if we want the perfect example of this, look at Jesus. He came preaching, and if He's God, we know that every single word that came out of His mouth was absolutely perfect. Right? He told people He was the Son of God. He told people He was the Messiah. He told people He was going to come and cover all of their sins, and that includes yours. What did the Pharisees do? They killed Him for it. A message that we think is so sweet, a message that we think is so good, and yet the people in Jesus' day mocked Him for it. They spit on Him, they beat Him, they bruised Him, He was bloodied, and He died on the cross. But no amount of name-calling, no whispering behind His back, none of it was able to stop Him from proclaiming the truth. No amount of being beat down, no amount of adversity against Him stopped Him from speaking the truth. In fact, He was happy to confess the truth, even when it caused adversity, even when it caused strife, and He was never apologetic for it. Jesus does it all for you. You know, could you imagine if we came to this book and we start reading Jesus' words and all of a sudden, you know, He's confessing one thing and then He comes to the Pharisees and then He has to like backpedal. Like, oh, actually, that's not what I meant. You know, what I meant to say is this, you know. I mean, that's what we always do, right? But Jesus doesn't do that. He is consistent in the word, and He does it for you. That way you might not have the truth all muddied up and confused, but you might have the truth clearly and for your benefit. And the truth is that He is the Messiah. He's your Messiah. He's the Son of God for you to work on your behalf. The truth is, He had to be patient in order to do that. We got one more, ready? And so we need to be patient. Sometimes you just have to let time elapse. We need to be patient in the task that God has given us in preaching the word. And our third one is this. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, for this one, I need you to think about a present suffering, a present persecution, a present complication in your life. Because the truth is, that's who Job was. Job is an example of enduring through suffering because Job suffered like no one else. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job. In the very first few chapters, what happens to Job? All of his stuff is destroyed. He literally becomes the poorest man, right? Yet what did he do? He trusted in the Lord. What happens next? His family is killed in a horrendous accident. But what does Job do? He trusts in the Lord. What happens next? But his health fails him, right? He starts getting sick. And even in the midst of his illness, he trusts in the Lord. And then after all of these bad things come, his friends come him and try to make him betray his faith. Just give it up, Job. You don't need God. What has God given to you except pain and suffering? And yet, what did Job do when his friends betrayed him? He trusted in the Lord. Job's faith is unwavering. It's steadfast, it's true. And by the end of the book, we hear something far better. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Even in the midst of Job's suffering, God never left him. And in fact, even at the beginning of Job's suffering, God knew what was in store for Job years in the future. He knew the great blessing that he had in store for Job. And so in the midst of our own suffering, this is the kind of patience the Lord calls for. He tells you that even in the midst of whatever problem you're going through in life, that He is still with you. He promises you that even though you can't see the purpose for your suffering, that He knows it. He assures you that though life might not always be enjoyable, you still have one consistent. It's the promise of God, His blessing, and nothing can take that away. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. It doesn't matter what sort of suffering we have. We have a promise of future blessing. It's a certainty. It's a reality because the Lord has promised it. And so when we're in the midst of this physical suffering, right, or emotional suffering or whatever suffering it is, remember that the Lord is going to be steadfast towards you, that he is going to sustain your faith, that he is going to make sure that you have the patience to endure it. Whether it's sickness or pain or death or whatever else it is, God is there. Especially if you want a scripture verse to reinforce, we have Romans 8. Right? We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Again, suffering is never fun. When we're in the midst of it, it stinks. It's awful. But let's keep one eye on the horizon, one eye on the blessings that God has promised. And again, if you want the perfect example, we have it in our Savior. He is literally the embodiment of patience and steadfastness in this circumstance as well. Why? Because as Jesus is placed on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the whole world, he simply endures it. In fact, that's his prayer, right? Lord, if it is possible for this cup to pass from me, let it be so. But even so, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus shows his faith in the Father. He knows that God is going to look out for him. He knows that God's plan, even if it means you have to endure suffering for a time, is perfect in the end. And so Jesus goes to the cross willingly. He hangs there willingly. He sheds his blood willingly, and he dies willingly. He suffers all of the pain, the physical pain. He suffers all of God's wrath. That way you might know that you have none of it. That the suffering in your life is only a temporary purification for the future blessings that you will receive in the future. How can I be so sure? We know the story of Jesus. We know what happens to Jesus 3 days after his suffering. He is brought from the most lowly creature in the entire world, the biggest sinner of all time, and yet God raises him from the dead. And then 40 days later, he ascends into heaven and he sits at the right hand of power forever. God takes the lowest of men and he lifts them to the highest of places. We call that a future blessing. We call that enduring through suffering so we can see the glory at the end. And Jesus does it all for you. He does it so that you might know his promise, that you might have forgiveness, life, and salvation. And my friends, it's yours now. Because Jesus has died, because he has risen, because he has ascended, you are forgiven. Even for all of those times that maybe we have lacked the patience we should. My friends, none of us have perfect patience. None of us can avoid frustration forever, and on occasion we will complain. But often what our refrain should be is, I can't complain. Not because it won't do me any good anyway, but because I can't complain because I know the Lord is still with me. I can't complain because I know Jesus' promises are still true. I can't complain because I know there is future blessing on the end of my current suffering. And that is something that God grants to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your patience in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.